It's time for Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Gen Solar, the Fairbanks leader in sustainable, reliable energy solutions. And now, Building Alaska.
Welcome, everybody, to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio. My name is Jesse, and with me, I have Steve Keller. He was on the show last week. We're going to be doing a part two on home improvements and understanding how important it is to make sure that your insulation is right, your layering, having your house as efficient as possible, and not just efficient, but done right, so that way you could prevent any future catastrophes, any problems in the future. There's a lot of homes that people, they'll cut corners and they'll have their own understanding of, you know, what's going to work out better. But it's important. It's important to do research. It's important to ask the right people. And that's the person that we have with us today. Steve Keller is an architect. He has spent a lot of time, both commercial and residential, knowing the ins and outs of, you know, building properly. And so we're going to be continuing this awesome conversation in this topic about, you know, layers and how everything should be done properly when building and when it comes time to remodeling your home. And so, Steve, last week we left off on layering, right? So from your outside wall to your inside wall, the different kinds of ways that people insulate. But this week, what is something that you want to share with our listeners when it comes to building properly? Because last week we talked about walls, and this week I know that you want to talk about a specific part of the house.
Yeah, we talked about the exterior walls, and then we talked about kind of the most common or conventional way to insulate the exterior wall, and then how important the vapor barrier is on the inside surface. Vapor barrier here in Fairbanks, we want the vapor barrier to be on the warm side of the wall. So the inside surface of the wall is a vapor barrier. Mm-hmm. And you want to prevent or you want to minimize the amount of penetrations that you have in the vapor barrier. But when you do, you want to make sure that you seal so that the vapors can't get into the wall and condense and or freeze during the winter. So the other part of the wall, that's walls. The other part of the enclosure is the floor and the ceiling. Gary Pohl, I worked with Gary Pohl for many, many years, and right in the very beginning when I moved up here, he said, "Steve, the vapor barrier on the ceiling is really important." He says, "If you can imagine that you can turn your room upside down and pour 2 inches of water on what is the ceiling, and now it's the bottom, like a cup, that's the pressure that's on the ceiling from the vapor inside of your typical room. If you're trying to hold that, you're trying to keep that from getting out when you talk about the vapor barrier in a ceiling. So what goes in a ceiling often are can lights. And so anytime you have a penetration in the ceiling, you've really got to be very thinking through how are you going to deal with a vapor barrier. Just as in the wall, when there was a penetration, the vapor can get into the insulation, and then as it works its way through the insulation, if it hits the temperature low enough, which we call the dew point, where it condenses, then you have moisture inside your insulation. And in an attic, we're going to have typically your most common attic has a ventilation, and that's required by code for a cold roof. And where you're circulating air, you're allowing air to circulate and vent out through the exterior, so that any vapors that do get in there, you can evaporate and then ventilate away. But part of the roof construction too is if you have a cold roof, is that you want to maintain that ventilation so that in the wintertime you keep your roof cold, so that the temperature is always below freezing. If the temperature under the roof becomes above freezing, then you're going to be melting the snow. And the snow as an insulator then is going to keep it, you know, it's going to flow down until it gets to the point where there is no heat coming from the inside, and then it freezes. And you can end up with what they call ice damming at the edge of your roof, at the eave of your roof, and it can build up over time, and you end up with icicles. So icicles are dangerous. And then the other part of it too is If it's a metal roof, a lot of times people say, oh yeah, I want a metal roof. I want the snow to slide off. Well, if the snow slides off, you've got to keep people away from it.
Yeah.
If you're in Fairbanks, you're not going to be allowed to do it. They require you to have snow stops to prevent the snow from sliding off. For life safety, I mean, we've had some tragedies here in Fairbanks, in the Fairbanks area, where snow has slid off a roof and it's ended up with, you know, people dying. So it's something you really need to try to keep your roof cold if you're going to have a cold roof. So that's part of it. And the vapor barrier on the ceiling side seems pretty simple. Sealing that to the walls, you want to have that needs to be continuous. The other part of it, when you have an interior wall, what are you doing with the vapor barrier? A lot of times I see people, they seal the vapor barrier to the top plate. And then for vapor then to get through, it has to make its way through the wood. Some people actually go to the extent of putting a strip of vapor barrier when they tip the wall up so that there's actually visqueen going across the top of the wall, mm-hmm. and then they seal it to the visqueen. Some people do that. Most guys out there are not doing that. But when you do this, now think about it. We're using the top plate of the wall as part of the vapor barrier system, which is probably okay. But now, every time you come in and you're drilling a hole in there to drop wires in there, that's a hole.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to seal that. You want to seal that. Every time you come down through the top plate on your attic side, you want to seal that so that the vapor doesn't come up through those holes. Another thing, or like that people go, what do we do about the exhaust fans? Well, the exhaust fan is going to be a penetration and you're going to be circulating. And so that's an area where maybe you want to keep an eye on. You want to look, occasionally go up there and look, is there a problem up here? You'll see the moisture, the frost buildup at the exhaust fan in the wintertime on the exterior. Dryer vents, bathroom exhaust, your range top hood, you know, all those vents are going to be, you're going to have frost. Another part of this too is like your boiler. The older boilers, new boilers, not as much anymore, but the older boilers will have a flue that penetrates the roof. And that is always an area that is going to be prone to melting the snow around it and then water flowing down and then creating icicles. So there are systems that can be installed around the flue that prevent the heat of the flue of getting to the snow. And that's something to look into if you have problems with the flue and icicles and ice building up around the flue. The newer boilers are so efficient that they don't have I've seen this. I was amazed the first time I saw this. I go, is that the flue? And they go, yeah. And it's going through the wall, kind of like a Toyo or a monitor stove.
Yeah.
Those are very efficient. Mm-hmm. And so you will end up with frost buildup, but kind of like a little funny, little strange little stalagmite kind of thing of ice on the floor or on the ground outside where that is, but it's not on the roof.
Yep.
And the newer boilers, more efficient boilers are doing this. I saw them, well, the laundromat over there, the Fairbanks laundromat. When I saw that's a big building and they have these little boilers. I go, oh my goodness. They're mounted on the wall, and it's just this little box. And I'm going, that's the boiler. And they said, yeah, and it's heating the whole place. So the new boilers, you don't have the roof penetration, but the older places where, and a lot of the big boilers, new boilers, are going to go through the roof.
That's awesome. That's really important to keep in mind, you know, especially when it comes time to upgrade. It's important to upgrade to something that's going to be efficient to prevent those things from happening again. Guys, for those who are just tuning in, this is Building Alaska on KFAR Radio. My name is Jesse Tres Hos, and with me I have Steve Keller. He's a local architect, and this show has been brought to you by Premier Kitchen and Bath. Guys, if you're looking to upgrade your kitchen, upgrading your bathroom, doing any kind of remodel, give them a call. Their number is 907-347-9234. Again, it is 347 9234. This show has been brought to you by Premier Kitchen and Bath. They are local. They are the best at what they do, and they'll get you guys taken care of. If you can dream it, they will bring it to life. Guys, we are talking about home improvements, talking about insulation barriers, talking about how to properly insulate your home and what to keep an eye out for. You know, some of us buy houses and have no knowledge about how roofs are supposed to be built, how insulation is supposed to look like. And I'm one of those guys where we bought a foreclosure, amazing deal, great deal. But every year that goes by, we're learning new things about it. And that's, Steve, that's one of the problems that we're having, is that we're building up those ice dams on the edge of the roof. And it is it's a metal roof. And our pitch on that roof it's pretty dramatic. We have vaulted ceilings. There's no attic. And I have to make sure every single year that my kids do not go behind the house and in front of the house. And our entryway is on the right side. So where all that snow slides off, it's not going to get to them. But it's still a problem. I've put, some roof stoppers. Mm-hmm. Next year, I got to do something a little bit different. Maybe go with shingles, mm-hmm, or some other kind of material, because it can be very dangerous. So,
yeah, I mean, and talking to you, it sounds like you might have a hot roof. Maybe that's what was intended. And a lot of times, vaulted roofs, if they used, BCI or the I-joists or those kinds of systems, or dimensional lumber like 2x12s, then they'll insulate the whole thickness, and then there's a potential for that to be warmer than 32 degrees. And then in that situation, if you have snow, it's going to melt and go down and create icicles or ice dams, potentially, yeah, creating ice dams. I see, well, sometimes people just live with it, and then I also see people, and I've done this, one of the earlier projects was for the Church of Latter-day Saints, their stake center. We built up over the top of their roof with a whole system of 2x members on edge, which created a ventilation area, ventilation space, and then the roofing, we put the roofing on top of that. That was a retrofit. We did a couple of their facilities, because they're metal, they're very prudent, and so they like no maintenance. They like things to be maintenance free, and so that was metal roofs are very common, and so we corrected several problems there. And then the other thing is metal roofs and valleys. Metal roofs kind of direct the flow, and it's like a track, like a train track. And when you go into a valley, it's pointing into the valley, so you end up with a buildup in the valley if it's not done so that it can get out of the valley as well. So, but now vapor barriers, walls, ceilings. The other part is like the floor. If you have a cold floor, a floor that it's cold on the other side, it's over like piling or cribbing or something like that. You want to make sure you have a good vapor barrier on your floor. And then good insulation too, because that's just a whole big surface now that is losing heat.
Yeah.
A lot of times, even if you're on piers, it's probably a good idea to have a skirt. Maybe just to keep, maybe it's not as cold if you put a skirt. And then of course if you have a crawl space, then you're going to be here in Fairbanks, we insulate the whole perimeter of the crawl space, and then you have to ventilate the crawl space in a part of your HRV system if you have one. The vapor barrier on the floor extends to the vapor barrier. The vapor barrier concept extends to the floor as well.
Yeah.
If you have a crawl space, you want to put a vapor barrier on the surface of your crawl space. When you go in there, you have the VisQueen on the floor. So,
yeah, this is really good. I'm learning a lot. It's every year we're looking at how to improve our home. Nothing's getting cheaper, right? And so the cost of fuel, the cost of electricity, everything's going up. And I don't want to have to worry about that in the future. So this is really awesome. And I hope that you guys are taking a lot of notes, because this is important. We are going into the winter season, and some of you guys are going to be taking all of these, tips into consideration. You're going to see a lot of these things around your house, hopefully not, but for those who see it, guys, take care of that before it becomes a bigger problem in the future. Guys, we're going to go to a short break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Building Alaska will be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks is raving about the technology available for your home from the folks at Gen Solar. From the Tesla solar technology and their amazing sleek power walls, to the always dependable Generac system and EcoFlow battery systems, all for your home or business, all designed to keep your home safe from power outages while feeding power back to the grid and saving you time and money. See for yourself and get all of your questions answered in their amazing new showroom, 29 College Road, right across from the Bentley Mall. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Gen Solar.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio. My name is Jesse, and with me I have Steve Keller, local architect, super awesome guy. We've been talking a lot about homes, you know, why it's important to do things right the first time. If you are experiencing, if you're a first-time home buyer and you're experiencing weird things around your house, like you're seeing icicles build up on the roof, you're seeing leaks on the side, frost build up, you know, water coming out of your outlets, that's pretty serious stuff. And I get to talk to a lot of people. And when it comes to this subject, everybody has their own understanding of what things should look like and, you know, what's going to be the best fit for them and so on and so forth. But, you know, talking with an actual architect, he gets to see the ins and outs of everything. He gets to see things that were haven't been thought to through thoroughly. And, you know, over time, you get to see the repercussions of that and then having to go over there and fix it. And how can we make it better? How can we make it more efficient? And that's where we're at right now. My wife and I, we're looking at how can we make our home more efficient? And not just that, but all those places that the vapor barrier has been punctured, we don't see it. It's not visible to the naked eye 100%. And so I'm wondering what is happening behind my sheetrock or gypsum board that could be a problem in the future. And so Steve has given us a lot of information on indicators, on what to look out for and how to properly, you know, install, how to properly layer. And he was just finishing up on the roof and we got started talking about how it's important to have proper insulation and how to properly install floors too.
So one of the areas that, you know, you were talking about the house and your habitable, you know, your bedrooms and living room and where you're living. And then also a lot of times a house will have a garage attached or you might have a detached garage. Well, we're talking about the air leakage is important in the house. Well, in a garage, it's your garage door. And I mean, you open the garage door, it's not like opening a window a little bit or a door, front door of your house. I mean, it's the whole wall is opening up. So it closes back down and then your heat comes back on. But when it's closed, the seal around the door, and here now we have more flexible and better weather stripping that 30 years ago they had special stuff that they did, and it's like they sold it for here for probably 10 or 15 years until finally I think the overhead door companies actually now have a good seal that when the door closes, it's sealed around the perimeter. That in each, if it's a sectional door, each of the sections also is weather stripping together mm-hmm. so that you're not ending up with as much air leakage. They also have thicker doors. You pay more, you know, for a thicker door, so you have more R value. Rigid insulation, like is in the overhead doors, I think you get a higher R value out of that polyisocyanurate. The other rigid insulation that we buy at Lowe's or Home Depot or Spenards or one of the local lumber yards is probably 4.5 or 5 per inch, and pretty much I think spray foam might be a little bit more, but you know it's like four to six somewhere in there per inch. So you keep that in mind when you're trying to add to it. Garages, one of the things I just, you know, you were asking the question, is it more efficient, or I guess what you mean is it less expensive to build a frame garage using 2x4 or 2x6 wood frame construction? 2x8 if you want a really tall wall, you know, like a 16-foot wall, you're going to use 2x8s probably. And is that less expensive than ordering a metal building kit? Well, if you do a metal building kit, you want to look at what you're going to get for an R value. And so if you're thinking about your heating cost, you want to think about that with your garage also. Now, granted, a garage doesn't need to be 70 degrees or whatever, you're 74. Yeah. You know, it's funny. You want it 74 in the winter and you want it 68 in the summer. It's like, why is that? Anyway, you know, 70 degrees or 72 degrees, your garage, it's okay if it gets a little bit cooler. Yeah. Even if you're doing painting and that sort of thing, you want it to be warm. You know, if you're doing things like woodworking and doing things where you have to have your paints and varnishes and all that stuff, you want to maintain a temperature. But if it's just cars, you know, you can let it go down to 50 and it's still good. You know, you go in, you start your car, it starts right up. And if you're not in there, so that's a way you can save energy is with the thermostat, even in your house. And you mentioned vaulted ceiling. I'm kind of randomly going all around the world here, but you know, a ceiling fan can do a lot for you because it will drive that warm air that you're paying for that heat, and you can drive that warm air back down to where you're living and going to enjoy the heat. But in a garage, you can control your energy usage by the thermostat, you know, and keep it. I mean, even if all you're doing is cars, you could even let the temperature, and no plumbing, you could just say, okay, 40 degrees is good enough. And then it's, you know, my car is efficient. It's going to start efficiently. It's not going to be puffing out big smoke and, you know, causing problems when it's really cold. So, with the metal building kits, you just want to look at the R value. And then, you know, I want a loft. Well, are you going to get that with the metal building? And then, well, no, but it's high enough. I can build a loft. Okay, so include the cost. Just consider the whole package.
Yep.
You know, if you're going to do the metal building, how much more are you going to need to do beyond that? If you're going to use, and it may be an insulated panel where it's got metal on the outside, metal on the inside, a rigid panel, which those are great. I mean, all these big stores, Costco, Fred Meyer, you know, you name it, Fred Meyer West, those are using that metal panel system, double metal panel system. Flowline, the big new place they built there like 10 or 15 years ago on Phillips Field Road. You can drive by these places, and that's the way those are made. It's a metal panel. Even the roof is that way. It's a thicker metal panel that attaches to a metal system, you know, a metal structural system. And if you do a garage, that might be one of the things you would be doing, would be a metal system that has those double panels. So sometimes I've seen them out there where there's no insulation. It is literally like the metal siding you buy at Lowe's attached to a horizontal furring or girt system. And then you need to go and insulate then on top of that. So those are costs you'd add to You know, you say, oh, yeah, I get a better deal if I get the middle building. Well, plus, yeah. You need to go plus. And then you add up the cost. So that's what you do.
So we are, Steve, we are coming close to our end, but you mentioned something about thermostats. Okay. So, real quick, I think it's really important for our listeners to know this. When we first bought our house, we've talked to a lot of people because when you buy a house, you're excited. You want to make sure that you're doing the right thing, and all kinds of conversations happen outside, you know, just by buying a house. And so we were thinking, okay, are we going to save more if we set the thermostat to 65 degrees, and then when we get home, do we bring it back up to 75? There's so many times where we have switched because it got too hot or it got too cold, and we're constantly moving that thermostat. And I had a conversation with someone, and I wanted to see what you have to say. Is it better to just leave the thermostat at a specific temperature and don't touch it, or is it more efficient for you to move that temperature whenever you feel like it? Because the guy that I talked to, he's a construction guy. He goes, you know, every time that you turn down your AC thermostat because it's too hot, when you bring it back down at a significant level, now you're waiting for the house to cool off. And then for it to get back to where you want it to be, it's going to take a while to get there. So you're consuming a lot more fuel and electricity to get there than if you were to leave it at, let's say, 70 degrees or 72 or 73 degrees. If you left it at that, it doesn't take much, and it would only turn on just enough to where it just keeps that temperature going.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. If the boiler is running, you're using energy. If the boiler is not running, you're not using energy. And if the boiler, now, as far as he's talking about the momentum of the temperature in the space. So if you want instant change in temperature from cold to warm, then that's not going to happen because it takes time for the, we're talking about if with a boiler, a hydronic system that's going through either radiators, you know, baseboard radiators or through the floor. And the floor really carries a momentum because of the mass of the floor. But so it's like you're tolerating a swing at the time for it. You're physically tolerating. But if the, just very simple, if the boiler is running, you're using energy. If the boiler is not running, you're using energy. If it's 40 below and you have the thermostat set at 72, the boiler is going to run more than if it's set at 60. That's just a fact because it's going to need to run more. So programmable thermostats are very popular and they're complicated. I've tried to do them. I've dealt with them. So, but once you read the instructions and figure it out, they're not that bad. But what you can do is you can set it same way with a water heater. You know, you can set your water heater so it's not keeping all that water hot until like 6 in the morning. If you're going to get up at 7 and get a shower and go to work, you set it so that it pops the temperature, pumps the heat back up at 6 o'clock. So by 7 o'clock, it's warm. And then if you're done, like your dishwasher is running, the last thing you're doing at the end of the day, the kids are in bed and and your wife are putting the dishes in the dishwasher and the dishwashing cycle is done, then, and that's like 10 o'clock every night. Hopefully you're going to bed earlier, you know, but you can set it so that it kicks off. So between 10 o'clock and 6 in the morning, you're not using as much whatever energy you're using to heat your water. So those concepts, you know, just use your common sense. And the contractor friend of yours is right because there is a time. But the thing is when you're gone all day long and you are going to get home at 5 o'clock or at 5:30, you can make it so that the temperature kicks on again at 4:30 before you get there.
That makes sense.
But if you have to physically do it, then yeah, you're sitting there waiting. It's like throw two more logs on the fire and wait for the heat to get in the house. house, you know.
That makes sense. Steve, thank you so much for that. I hope that gives you guys a better understanding of how that works and what to do. Guys, we are coming to an end of our show. Thank you guys for staying tuned in. This is Building Alaska on KFAR Radio. Guys, remember, if you have any backup needs, solar, generators, battery backup power, give us a call, Gen Solar, 290-3333. Again, that is 290-3333. Thank you for staying tuned in, and we'll see you guys next week.
You've been listening to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. Building Alaska is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.